Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was a time in the history of America that every church had a pulpit. And most of those pulpits were truly on fire with a proclamation of the truth of the Word of God. But over the recent generations, it appears that the certainty and the centrality of the pulpit in churches has become limited. In fact, some churches do not even have pulpits these days, and many that do not have pulpits that are strong with the admonition of the Word of God. The question is, what has happened? Well, hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Gary Dahl, and along with me is Pastor Keith Wiebe. Both of us, of course, are a part of the American Pastors Network, and you hear us here on Stand in the Gap today. And between the two of us, we have over 100 years in pastoral ministry. Think of that, over 100 years in pastoral ministry. So I would think that we have a lot to say about the pulpit in America today. And folks, I believe that this will be a very significant and challenging program, both for the people in the pew as well as those who are in the pulpit. So I would encourage you to stay tuned and even take some time to invite others to listen in to this very significant program we've put together for you today. We want to begin the program by talking about the purpose of the pulpit from the perspective of the Word of God. Now, keep in mind that when we're talking about the pulpit, we are not necessarily speaking of the piece of furniture that's in the center of the church platform, but rather we are speaking of the preaching ministry of the pastor in the local church and what is emphasized in that preaching. You know, years ago, there was a fellow by the name of John Albert Broaddus, and he wrote a treatise on the preparation and the delivery of sermons back in 1872. And listen to what he said, and I quote, "Preaching is characteristic of Christianity. No false religion has ever provided for the regular and frequent assembling of the masses of men to hear religious instruction and exhortation. Judaism had something like it in the prophets and afterwards in the readers and the speakers of the synagogue. But Judaism was a true religion designed to be developed into Christianity. The great appointed means of spreading the good news of salvation through Christ is preaching, words spoken rather to the individual or to the assembly. And this nothing can supersede," end quote. Now, having read those words of Broaddus, I am reminded also of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, where he said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Well, we're going to talk about these issues today, the issues of preaching and the purpose of the pulpit. Keith Wiebe, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, my friend.
Thank you, Gary. Always glad to be with you. And yeah, I was thinking, two preachers, been at this as long as you and I have, both of us very passionate about preaching. We've got a lot to say about it.
We do. I think more to say than a one-hour program allows for.
I'm sure.
But it'll be fun. Well, to get started, Keith, what did the Apostle Paul mean by the foolishness of preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 that I just read?
Well, I will tell you first, Gary, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that when I read that passage, I often pray that it won't be the foolishness of this preacher. Actually, in the context of that statement, in that paragraph in Scripture, the Word of God is making a contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And the point kind of falls through the whole thing that what looks like wisdom of God appears to be foolishness in the eyes of the world. What the world deems to be wise would actually be foolishness in the eyes of the Lord. So when he talked about it saved God through the foolishness of preaching, he's making a comparative statement. He's saying that it's the foolishness of the proclamation of the message of the crucifixion of Christ for our sins that in the eyes of the world is foolishness. And we know that it is. Just recently in the hearings with Pompeo for the Secretary of State, they were scoffing at him and ridiculing him, trying to discredit him. simply because he believed in the Bible's position on morality. They thought it was foolishness. And I think the foolishness of preaching is, as it appears to be in the eyes of the world, that Gary, you and I know that the preaching of the Word of God is the power of God to salvation to those that will believe.
Amen, Keith. I agree with that 100%. And I know that many of our listeners do as well. So as we talk about the purpose of preaching in the pulpit ministry from the perspective of the Word of God, can you direct us to any other passages of Scripture that specifically lay the foundation for pulpit ministry, not just in the days in which we live, but throughout the centuries of Christianity?
When I look at that, one of those that speaks to my heart, Gary, as a preacher, is the account in Nehemiah chapter 8. They had finished building the wall. In the process of completing the wall, they'd had something of a revival there. And Nehemiah and Ezra gathered all of the people together, and they spent about half a day doing nothing but reading from the book of the law, reading from God's word. And the Bible says of them that they read from the book the law of God clearly, distinctly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. They read in it distinctly. It was clear. And at Grace, in our pulpit ministry, we have always used two words to describe what we do with the Word of God across the pulpit. It, first of all, ought to be accurate. The preacher's exegesis of Scripture needs to be diligent. It needs to be thorough. It needs to be accurate. The Bible needs to be accurate. But then it also needs to be accessible. It needs to be in terms and words and illustrations so that it communicates to the hearts of the people. And that's what I see as the real purpose of the ministry of God's Word across a pulpit. We need to distinctly explain it, expound its meaning, and then it needs to be done in a way that the people understand. And the Bible goes on in that same context in Nehemiah chapter 8, down into the 12th verse, that the people went away rejoicing because they understood God's word.
Well, they did, and that was a very precious time for the history of the Jewish people. Now, down through your years of ministry, have you had the opportunity to pass your philosophy of preaching to younger preachers?
Well, every chance I've gotten, Gary, whether it's in a one-on-one conversation, whether it's in a group discussion, and, you know, you get preachers together and they start talking about preaching. I've always been a strong proponent of expository preaching, of taking the Word of God, opening up a passage, exegeting it. What does God say in this passage? What message does he have for the people out of this passage? And try to pass that on in some kind of a faithful way.
Well, I know you've done that, Keith, and certainly, without a doubt, there are many younger preachers who have benefited from your instruction as it relates to the purpose of the pulpit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a brief break on the program, but when we come back, we will discuss the power of the pulpit in the history of America. I'm certain you're not going to want to miss this discussion, so please stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America back in 1831, said, and I quote, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school systems, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great," end quote. Now, Keith, that's a very strong statement by Mr. de Tocqueville. And before we comment on it too much, however, I'd like for you, if you would please, to consider this question. Did the preaching of the early preachers in America really make a difference in our nation? In other words, did the pulpit have power in those days?
Well, Gary, I think it's obvious that it did, because it's the men in the pulpit, hearts touched by God, that really made the difference. Men like Theodor Frelinghuysen, whose preaching was aimed at awakening Dutch Reformed congregations in New Jersey. Men like Jonathan Edwards, who preached the gospel deliberately, powerful in a sermon, series of sermons on justification by faith alone. In fact, that series by Edwards prompted a revival that began among young people and spread to the adults. George Whitefield from Britain, a Methodist preacher, boldly proclaimed that, he said it this way, "The door of mercy is not yet shut. There does yet remain a sacrifice for sin for all that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ." And we could go on and on with people whose names we know, copies of whose sermons we have, about their preaching in their pulpits in the early days of our country, and it indeed made a difference. Gary, you've been at this a long time, and you've had a very varied ministry in your churches that you've pastored. What about de Tocqueville's words, "pulpits aflame with righteousness"? What do you see in those words?
Well, I see truth. I see power. I see the lack of compromise. I see addressing the issues of the day from the biblical perspective. I see the whole concept of what does the Bible say. I see the concept of a biblical worldview. And I think that it is that. And that's a very interesting phrase, pulpits flame with righteousness. I think it is that that really God used to lay the foundation of our nation today. I mean, you know, whether we are talking about the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States, or even the desire for the original colonists to stand for freedom, I believe that it was the preaching of the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the scriptures over the pulpit by men who had no fear of other men, but who wanted to see the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God portrayed, that really made an impact and a change on this nation. I think the power of the pulpit really is that which brought great effect into our land. And I would like to see more of that today. As a matter of fact, Keith, from your extensive travel across America, and you've been doing that for a number of years now, can you say without a doubt that pulpits are flaming with righteousness these days as perhaps they were back in the days of de Tocqueville?
You know, Gary, I don't know if they are now as they were then or not. I would be inclined to say that perhaps not as much. Certainly there's been a decline in the power from the pulpit. However, I do believe there are today those faithful pastors whose own hearts are aflame with righteousness, who are boldly proclaiming the principles of God's word across their pulpits into the public square. As we often say on this broadcast, God always has his remnant, his faithful servant. And the American Pastors Network is really made up of those remnant pastors who still believe the word of God and who are preaching it passionately.
You know, just something came to my mind there, Keith, as you were talking. Today, as we look around us, particularly here at the American Pastors Network, we have the desire to stand upon the authority of the Scripture. We have the desire to promote the Word of God. We stand on the significance of a biblical worldview. We stand against liberalism, and we stand for truth. And let me just throw out an additional question to you here, and that is, back in the day of de Tocqueville and the founding of our nation, was there a strain of liberalism that was running at a rampancy then as it is now that would perhaps possibly could have attacked the power of the pulpit in those days?
Gary, that's a very good question. In fact, the preaching of the cross has always had its enemies. There have always been the religious forces in one way or another that were attacking the veracity of Scripture, the truthfulness of it. There were always the elements in the culture that were pushing the edge of the envelope with sin, trying to redefine it so that it's not sin, therefore people's consciences shouldn't bother them and they can go on doing whatever they want to. So I think there have always been those things, and there's always been a need for men to stand faithfully in the preaching of the Word of God.
Well, in addition to that, there have always been those who truly did stand for the truth of the Word of God. And so from your understanding of early American preachers, who were some of those men that you believe God used to lay the foundation of righteousness in our nation? And why did God use them in such a unique way?
Gary, they were men like Samuel Davies, who is considered by some to be the best pulpit preacher in American history. He pastored in Virginia. And in his pastoring, he influenced a young man in his congregation by the name of Patrick Henry. Now, many of us don't know the name of Samuel Davies, but we knew anybody familiar with American history knows the name of Patrick Henry. Well, Davies, in his pulpit, followed another notable preacher of the Great Awakening. I've made reference to him earlier in the program, Jonathan Edwards. He was famous for his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it is said that listeners literally clung to the pews and pillars in the church because they almost could envision themselves sliding into hell. And there again, there were so many faithful men like that. And Gary, I suspect that there are many of these men whose names history really never recorded, but they really made a difference because of their faithful and passionate preaching of the Word of God. Gary, what about the preaching of righteousness we're talking about when it comes to the foundational documents of our country, like the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution? What kind of effect do you think the pulpits of the day had on documents like that?
Oh, I think it had great effect, Keith. When you read the Declaration of Independence, you can see biblical principles there very clearly. When you read the United States Constitution, you can see biblical principles there. You know, I've often heard people say that you cannot find the Bible in the Constitution. But of course, we've emphasized over and over again on this program that you can. In fact, in talking with one of the other guests that we have from time to time on this program, David New, who is a constitutional attorney, he has basically said that you can take practically every statement in the Constitution and align it up with a biblical principle in some way, shape, or form. Now, why is that the case? It's the case simply because of the fact that many of those early preachers preached the truth of the Word of God, and the founders of our nation were very, very interested in the truth of the Word of God. And consequently, they inculcated into our founding documents biblical principles that made our nation strong. And Keith, I think that one of the reasons why we've got people today who would like to either change the Constitution or to do away with the Constitution is because the Constitution is biblically based. And there are many people in our society today, both in and outside of the church, who do not want a Constitution that is biblically based. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we are trying as fast as we can to get away from anything that's connected to God. That's where the whole theory of evolution comes in. You either believe that God created, or you have to leave God out and find some naturalistic explanation that somehow a man's mind can understand, and therefore the theory of evolution. I think the founding fathers learned their principles of governance largely by sitting in their pulpits and listening to their pastors. And those men, you read their sermons, they were great expositors of Scripture. I've always been a proponent of expository preaching. And they looked at a passage, what does it say? What does God say to us there? And then the statesmen of the revolutionary era of the founding of our nation simply took those great principles of Scripture and they applied them to governance. And they clearly understood that any nation that would so apply the principles of the Word of God could expect the same kind of blessing from God. Scripture's influence is clearly seen.
Amen. Well, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And through the preaching and the power of the pulpit in our early days in America, we see that righteousness exalted our nation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. But when we come back after that break, we are going to take a look at the pulpit in America today and compare it with the historical preaching of our early pastors. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we are involved in a discussion on the American pulpit today and how it made the United States of America strong back in our days of our founders, and how if we are going to see our nation become strong again, and I should say stronger by the day, we need to make certain that there is a strong pulpit that is based upon the strong and uncompromising teaching of the Word of God. But before we continue, I certainly do want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today and remind you that if you would like to listen to this program or other programs that we've aired in the past, and if you'd like to see some additional information that we have to offer you from Stand in the Gap, and we've got a lot of resources that we can share with you, you can check that out not only at our website, which is standinthegapradio.com, or get our mobile phone app, but you can also follow us on social media in order to stay up to date with the latest information, and we would encourage you to do that. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we've got some neat resources for you on our YouTube channel as well, and so we would encourage you to use those various aspects of social media. And by following our social media accounts, it makes it easy for you then to share the information that you hear on this program with friends and family members who would benefit from Stand in the Gap today as well. But I do have a favor that I would like to ask you here today, and that is, would you pray for us? As you know, we are constantly on the cutting edge of the issues that are taking place in America today, whether it talks about the issues in the home or in the government or in the church or whatever the case may be. And it takes a lot of effort to put these programs together and to have the guests on that we do. And so we would ask you, if you would please, to pray for us that we might know exactly what God wants us to do. And we've got other opportunities before us as well. As was mentioned recently, we started a Stand in the Gap television program that eventually we trust will be all across the nation. So pray that God will give us wisdom and the direction to stand for Him in every possible way that we can. And then also, this is basically a listener-supported ministry. And I would like to ask you today, if you would, just go to the Lord and ask him if he would have you to support us financially, to stand with us with your gifts. And if God would place that on your heart to give to us, perhaps even on a monthly basis, we would appreciate it very, very much. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being willing to give to us as the Lord directs. Well, in the first two segments of the program today, we've talked about the purpose and the power of the pulpit in America. But in this segment, we want to dig into the problem of the pulpit in America today as we see it from the perspective of the authority of the Word of God. But before we do, I want to quote once again from John Broadus on the necessity of preaching. In his treatise on the preparation and delivery of sermons, he said this, and I quote, "It follows that preaching must always be a necessity, and good preaching is to be mighty in power. In every age of Christianity, since John the Baptist drew crowds into the desert, there has been no great religious movement, no restoration of scripture truth, and reanimation of genuine piety without new power in preaching, both as cause and as effect," end quote. Now, Keith, that's a very, very strong statement from John Broadus. And of course, John Broadus lived in the latter part of the 1800s. But having just read what he said about the power of preaching and the authority of preaching, Keith, I often refer to what I call cupcake sermons. And by that, I mean sermons that look nice, but they have very little substance. The language is clear. The grammar is correct. The stories are complete. The delivery is eloquent. But the preaching of truth is scarce. And, you know, Keith, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, and I quote, "Preach the word." That's very direct. That's very clear. Preach the word. And Keith, my question to you here today is, have pastors gotten away from that admonition? Have pastors gotten away from the reality and the necessity of preaching the word of God over their pulpits?
Well, Gary, it seems to me that probably as many as 70% of them actually have. George Barna's research indicates that only 30% of pastors actually believe in the absolute authority of Scripture. Now, to me, that is a staggering statistic. That means that 70% of them are preaching from something that's not absolute. Even if they use the Bible, they don't regard it to be absolute authority as absolutely coming from God. And that's a major part of our mission as the American Pastors Network, to call pastors to the bold proclamation of God's word from their pulpit. Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word will not return to him void or empty. He hasn't promised to bless my words or yours. He has promised to bless his words. And I think the pastors have gotten away from the admonition because what's absent from the preach the word with them is the word and their conviction that it really is the authoritative word of God.
You know, that's a profound statement. I think it deserves repeating again. Can you share that again? I like that. Somebody needs to write that down and use it. They need to quote you over and over on that. Please repeat it again, Keith, if you would.
Well, I think the problem is with the pastors, it's in the admonition, preach the word. The word is absent from their preaching. Even if they use the Bible, they're not regarding it as the absolute word of God, as absolute truth for our day. Maybe it means one thing to this person, another thing to the next person around them, beside them, but it's the preaching of the word he's promised to bless. Isaiah 55:11, not my words, not your words. It's his word that he has promised will not return to him void.
The place of the pulpit is to preach the word, not opinion, not some secular idea or some thought that's floating around out there. But the purpose of the pulpit is to preach the unadulterated Word of God. And with that in mind, Keith, what do you see as the problem with the pulpit today? I mean, what are some of the trends in the American pulpit that concern you? In certain circles, there are even those who say that preaching is outdated and not relevant for the times in which we live. And as a pastor yourself for nearly 50 years, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on reactions like that.
Well, it wasn't too long ago that a pastor whose name is nationally known stood in his pulpit and said that in our preaching, part of our problem was we were making too much of the Bible. We shouldn't put as much emphasis on the Bible in our preaching. And I was very distressed when I heard that, Gary, because if I don't refer to the Word of God in standing behind that sacred desk, what is the basis for what I am telling people? Our preaching is not to be a cover-up for what's wrong with us. We're not just saying, oh, don't worry about it, you're all right. It's not just a motivational speech that says, you can do it. Because the truth is, in ourselves, we can't. It's only by faith that comes by hearing, that comes by the Word of God, that we are able to do the right thing. Gary, the Bible defines what people are like. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Our problem is our sin. It keeps us from God, and only the clear truths of the Word of God are going to fix that. And we're getting away from the preaching of sin and righteousness in our pulpits, and therefore I think the difficulties and the problems that we're having. But Gary, let me throw this back to you. How did we get to this place where our pulpits are virtually ineffective today? Is the problem in the seminaries? Is it with what people want to hear? Is there a lack of boldness in the pulpit? Is it a lack of relevancy in the preaching? Lack of recognition of biblical authority? What brought us to this point?
Now, Keith, that's a loaded question.
Several loaded questions.
And I would think that probably everything that you mentioned there has contributed to it. You know, we've got some seminaries today that don't emphasize strong preaching in the Word of God. In fact, we understand that there are some Bible colleges and seminaries that don't teach Genesis chapters 1 through 11, wherein you've got the basic foundation of all that the Scripture teaches. In addition to that, we've got people who don't want to hear the Word of God. And I think that, well, we've talked about this in the past, that there are pastors who will not preach the unadulterated Word of God because they fear that they might lose their ministry. They fear that they might lose their church. They fear that they might lose people within their congregation. And so rather than preaching, thus saith the Lord, they proclaim what they think will, well, be that which what their congregants want to hear. And I believe that that's being tremendously unfaithful to one's calling. Certainly, we need to get back to what does the Bible say. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we return after this break, we'll wrap up this discussion by talking about the prospect of the pulpit ministry. That is, what will take place if the current trend of weakened preaching ministry continues? And what must be done to strengthen the pulpit these days? We'll be back with these thoughts right after this.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com. When nations become proud and forsake God, He'll replace their servant leaders with childish leaders. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. God is clear. There's a heavy price to pay for forsaking Him. Isaiah chapter 3 says, "And I will give children to be their rulers, and babes shall rule over them. Oh, they may look like adults, but they act like selfish, short-sighted children. Undisciplined, they encourage division and rebellion. They foster disrespect to authority, and they condone lawless behavior. Like the inhabitants of Sodom, they're arrogant, openly flaunting their sin. Yet God says their actions and attitudes will testify against them one day, and God will reward accordingly. But sadly, in the end, they will bring to themselves evil and to the nation they represent." Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer, asking God to raise up truly godly leaders, perhaps even you? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And we've been talking about the pulpit. And by the way, when we speak of the pulpit, we're not talking about that piece of furniture that's on the platform of the church. Of course, I know that sometimes that is what people probably think about, but we are actually talking about what is taught in the church, what is taught over the pulpit, what is taught, what is preached by the pastor, by the preacher, by the evangelist, whatever the case may be. And so far in the program, we've talked about the purpose of the pulpit. We've talked about the power of the pulpit. We have talked basically about the problem of the pulpit today. But in this segment, as we wrap it up, we want to talk about the prospect of the pulpit. And I think this is a very key segment, a very key element of our program today. And so, Keith, today we've noted that in some ways, the current trend in preaching has really weakened the pulpit ministry.
Yes, it is.
We've gotten away from preaching the word, as you so clearly brought out in the last segment. And my question to you is, if this trend continues, what do you foresee will happen in the home, in the church, and in the nation if the pulpit and the message of the pulpit continues to be weakened or even secularized?
Well, Gary, we in our culture are witnessing a tremendous, I think a catastrophic casting off of restraints of every kind. We have jettisoned restraints in the areas of morality. We have jettisoned restraints where marriage is concerned. And Scripture, I think, tells us exactly why that happens. Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraints, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And it gives us an illustration in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when in the day in which Samuel the prophet was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and it says of those days that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision, and the word of the Lord just was absent in the day of Samuel, and as a result, they were casting off restraints. In Jeremiah's lament, chapter 2, verse 9, Lamentations, he laments that the law is no more, her prophets find no vision from the Lord. Gary, I think the answer is simple. I didn't say it was easy, because we've got to turn this big ship around, and they don't turn around quickly. But the simple answer is we have to return in our pulpits on a large scale to the clear, authoritative, bold proclamation of God's word, proclaiming God's word as the absolute authority, the absolute word of God. I don't think there's going to be any other solution to what goes on in our culture other than that. If we honor God's word in our homes, God will honor our homes. If we honor his word in our churches, God will honor the church. And if we honor his word as a nation, God will honor us as a nation as well.
Well, that's so true. But on the other hand, if we do not honor God's word in the home, the church, and the nation, then God's not going to honor the home, the church, and the nation that detracts from the word of God, Keith. You know, I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul said this when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." And earlier in that same chapter, in the fourth verse, he says, "As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Keith, is it not true that the person who is called to preach is to preach not to please people, not to tickle the ears, as we often say, but to exalt the truth of God and to give the message of God without compromise? I mean, is it not true that that's what preachers are called to do?
That's exactly what preachers are called to do, Gary. It's not a soapbox for us to air our own personal private views. It's not a place for us to address what we consider to be all the ills of society. It's a place for us to open up the Word of God, take a passage of Scripture that we have poured into our own hearts in previous weeks and days, that we have studied carefully, that we have exegeted, we've drawn out what does it really say, and then with practical applications into our culture, make those words clear and plain to the people. Gary, I think of that old gospel song, and I'll date myself with this one, I know, but it says, "Make the message clear and plain, Christ receiveth sinful men." And that has to happen today in our culture if we are to see anything change. If we don't, we're only going to continue to cast off restraints. We actually are seeing it now in our culture. That where, for example, when it comes to the whole issue of same-sex marriage, homosexual behavior, that a person who's truly held beliefs do not track that. Those persons are not now considered to be fit for public office because they are considered to be outside the mainstream. Actually, I think if you really get down into the hearts of the American people, marriage between a man and a woman and standards of morality really still largely represent the mainstream. But there are winds blowing, there are trends moving across the landscape of our culture that I believe, Gary, are reversible only through the pulpits of our churches, only by faithful pastors proclaiming God's word boldly and with a passion. We must have it.
You know, Keith, we are now down to about a minute and a half, 2 minutes on this particular program. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, what about the pastor out there who has sort of succumbed to the winds of the time and is preaching to please the people rather than God? What must he do to get back to his calling to preach the unadulterated word of God? And then after you explain that, would you please close us in prayer?
Well, probably, Gary, the first thing that pastor needs to do, to be very honest about it, is have a time of repentance, because he has backed off of the calling that God gave him and the responsibility that he has. He needs to commit himself to returning to the pages of the Word of God, to studying its truths, and to proclaiming them as carefully and as boldly as he possibly can to the people that God gives to him. Now, that's our passion with the American Pastors Network, and We're inviting pastors all across our land to join us. You can go to the website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and you'll find a place where you can ask for information on how you can actually help us start a state chapter in your state of pastors who believe like I expect you do and like Gary and I surely do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We stand in awe that you have chosen to so clearly communicate your truths to us through it. And Lord, those of us whom you've called into the ministry of preaching your word stand in awe at that calling. It's such a big responsibility. And I pray, Lord, that power would return to the pulpits as your men seek your face and faithfully preach your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Keith, for sharing today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being there by the radio today. What we've talked about today is very, very significant, getting the power of the Word of God back in the pulpit. Now, I trust that you'll have a great weekend. I trust that you'll go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church on Sunday, and then join us again Monday, the Lord willing, for another Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. God bless you. Keep looking up.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.